Welcome to another dynamic series featuring American Cassette Ministries Associate Speaker, Pastor Richard O. Phil. In this seminar, we are learning what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit today beyond Pentecost. And now, here is Pastor O. Phil to continue this very important topic entitled, How to Know When You Have the Holy Spirit.
You know, God says that His ways are not our ways, or even His thoughts are not our thoughts. And when I began to think about this, I thought this is why the Ten Commandments are stated negatively, because they speak to us in our language. It says, you know, don't steal. Oh, I know what that is. Don't kill. Oh, yeah, that's me. Don't tell lies. Now you're talking the way I tend to do. See, the Ten Commandments are stated negatively because that was really about the only way to communicate a holy concept to a sinful people. Of course, the language that God wants to speak to us, the language of the born-again person, is the language of the Sermon on the Mount. And the language of 1 Corinthians 13. Can you see the difference? Since sin, God has not spoken to us face to face, but through the prophets, through nature, and of course I shouldn't say He's not spoken to us face to face, because He did speak to us face to face when Jesus lived here. Can you imagine Jesus, God Himself, used to live here? But much of Jesus' face-to-face communication, even with His disciples, was lost to them. Because of this incredible something that we can hardly understand, this matter of sin, because of the hardness of their hearts, even these disciples who would live with Him, who would touch Him, who would be with Him for years, it was as if they were deaf and dumb to what He was trying to say to them. Because they were not yet truly spiritual men. It's incredible. When you think that Jesus spent 3.5 years in almost constant companionship with those men, and listen, though He was with them physically, it wasn't until after Pentecost that He became part of their lives. You know, sometimes we might even think, well, if Jesus was right here, my troubles would be over. Not necessarily. They weren't for the disciples. Though He was right there talking to them in another language, their interest was, who's going to be the great? Spirit of selfishness closed their eyes and plugged their ears. You know, it becomes very apparent when you think about it even a little bit that the spirit of selfishness is the spirit of Antichrist. Now, it is true that anybody can explain spiritual truth. Did you hear what I said? Anybody can explain spiritual truth. But only spiritual people can understand it. This is why Jesus said that through the Holy Spirit, we've got to be born again if we're going to understand what God's saying to us. The Word of God is unintelligible to a person who's not born again and cannot be understood. Well, maybe understood intellectually or understood logically. But it cannot be understood experientially until a person becomes spiritual. You know, when I say, I know what you mean, I know where you're coming from, I'm saying my experience relates to what you're saying. The unregenerate heart is at war with God. Not only can it not understand the things of God, but it's actually fighting against God. For this reason, brothers and sisters, it's not an option, but it's imperative that the remnant church in these last days pray for and receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, some think, or may think, that the problem in the Christian life is that we don't understand. And so we teach, and so we study. And with all due respect to all of us, we've even nearly now reduced everything to a seminar. Some think the problem is we're not organized. And so we've installed computers and data banks, and we do surveys and studies. And in fact, you go into some church offices and conference offices, they look like insurance companies for all the computers and the screens and the flashing and the beeping. When my secretary was typing up these notes, she wrote that in, and then she puts here, it says, "Are you saying we shouldn't have computers to speed up or lighten the load?" That was her word. I've got to be careful when I follow these notes that they're what I wrote down and not what she puts in there. Some think that our problem is that we have lost the spirit of corporate worship, and that if we would revitalize church and Sabbath school, our problems would be over. In regard to worship, let me throw in here that in our current focus to do meaningful worship, many of us have forgotten that Jesus said that if you bring your gift to the altar and have anything against your brother, leave your gift at the altar and be reconciled first to your brother. So while we're focusing first on worship, perhaps we ought to focus first on being reconciled. Funny though, how we are, it's human nature. We emphasize first one thing and then another, and we'll overemphasize one thing and then overemphasize another. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, that fanaticism many times is simply the act of overemphasizing one truth at the expense of another. It is true that the last message to the world is a message of worship. Fear God and give glory to Him and worship Him who made heaven and earth. But there's another message to be preached to the world in the last generation that we read about in Malachi. Behold, I send Elijah the prophet before the great and awful day of the Lord. And his message will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. There's reconciliation again. Somehow we've got to understand that worship is more than what we do on Sabbath at 11 o'clock. Israel seemed to think that worship was what you did in church too, or what they did in church too. Because finally God says, "Hey, I'm fed up with what you do in church." You know, he put it another way. He said, "I'm fed up with your sacrifices. I wish you would realize that worship is not something you do, but it's something you are." Now, what does all this have to do with the Holy Spirit? I think it's everything. Because the Holy Spirit, listen to me, is not something on the outside. It is something on the inside. If we're having trouble on the outside, and obviously we are, it's because I believe at least we need to be reformed on the inside. I've entitled this the sermons in this series, Beyond Pentecost. Because as I've explained to you before, I don't believe we need to get back to Pentecost in AD 31. I believe we need to have an even greater experience than Pentecost in the 90s. Now, hang on. Perhaps even worse, there's an increasing emphasis on, in some quarters, on a pre-Pentecost experience. Not only are some of us obsessed with going back to Pentecost, but somehow some of us want to go all the way back to the Old Testament experience. Some of us, it seems, are trying to be Old Testament Christians, if there was such a thing. We were having camp meeting a couple of weeks ago in Florida and sitting at a table with some of my minister colleagues. And one of them said, out of the blue it seemed, he said, "What are we doing these days suddenly trying to make David a role model for the Christian life?" Remember just, a quarter or so ago we were studying in Kings? Though David, it seems to me, was a role model for repentance, brothers and sisters, he surely was not a role model for victorious Christian living. Though David was a man who was inspired by the Holy Spirit, I can't conceive that he was a man who you would say had the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because when you have the infilling and abiding presence in the whole of the Holy Spirit in your life, you don't run off with other men's wives. Notice even the difference between David's attitude towards his enemies. Remember, have you read what David wanted to happen to his enemies? He says, do them in, kill their wives, their children, tear down their houses, turn it all into a dump. Notice even the difference between David's attitude toward his enemies and Jesus' attitude towards his enemies. And Paul's attitude towards his enemies, that was the difference between day and night. You see, brothers and sisters, David had a pre-Pentecost experience with the Lord. You may think I'm a heretic. I'm not saying the Holy Spirit didn't move upon men of God or impress them or convict them of sin and of judgment and to come in the Old Testament. But I believe the fact is that the new experience that is available to us was not available to them because Scripture says Christ was not yet glorified. But then, if you want a Christian experience modeled on the pre-Pentecost days of the Old Testament, or even if you want an experience that the disciples had with Jesus when they walked with him for 3.5 years, fighting amongst themselves as to who was going to be the greatest, you're welcome to it. In fact, I don't even want the experience of Peter when he got up and walked out of a meal with a group of Gentiles rather than be embarrassed by his prejudiced Jewish Christian colleague. I want an infilling of the Holy Spirit of a crucified and glorified Christ that is beyond racism, that's not confused over law and grace. I want the Pentecost that God has for his people in the 90s. An experience that will purify and sanctify. An experience that will give us a witness that leads people to have a burning heart. Amen. But I don't want either an experience with the Holy Spirit that has me climbing the wall, swooning in the aisle, jumping up and down or clapping my hands. Though God's a God of the wind, he is not in the wind. You know what I'm going to say. Though God is a God of the fire, he's not in the fire. God is in the still, small voice. I don't seek an experience with the Holy Spirit that is hysterical or hypnotic. One thing I desire of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his tabernacle. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say next. I'm going to get a little bit X-rated. I don't even want the Holy Spirit in my life because I want power. I want the Holy Spirit in my life because I love the Lord Jesus Christ with all my heart. And though Jesus left us physically 2,000 years ago, in the Holy Spirit we have the most wonderful gift of all, Christ in us, the hope of glory. I repeat, I don't want the Holy Spirit because I want power. I want Him to live in me because I love Him and I crave His blessed presence. I remember when I first met my wife Betty and fell in love with her. We were only 17 and 18 when we first began to fall in love. And I married her 31 years ago. Now this marriage has a lot of benefits. We share expenses. We have someone to keep each other company. We share physical intimacy. We have 4 children. These are the benefits of being married to Betty. But the best part of all is that we love each other. And when you love someone, you want to be with them. You see, the blessing of the Holy Spirit in my life is best summed up with the words, Emmanuel. You know what that means? God with us. This is what it's all about. The Holy Spirit is the most wonderful of all of God's gifts. And I guess you can say that when the Holy Spirit is in your life, God has moved in with you. When God moves in with you, a lot of problems will disappear or become mute or irrelevant. You see, He's a holy God, and when a holy God moves in with you, His holy presence will prepare, if you please, a sterile field in your life. Do you know what I mean when I say that? It's for this reason that Scripture says, behold, old things are what? Passed away, and behold what? All things are become new. It also gives meaning to the words, what fellowship has light with darkness? When you and I have the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will hate the world. And as we sing, the things of earth grow what? Strangely dim in the what? Light of His glory and grace. If only we as God's people in the 90s would pray for the Holy Spirit and mean it. We sometimes pray for the Spirit like a young man with passion prays for a woman in his life. Though marriage has a sexual component, marriage is not built on sex. A person who seeks the Holy Spirit for gratification of his spiritual fantasies or for personal gain in power or popularity may well receive a spirit and exhibit these characteristics, but they will not be the Holy Spirit of God, but they will be from another spirit. God will not be used by us. He is not God because of us. We were created by Him for His pleasure and for His glory. God will not be used by us. He is not God because of us. We were created by Him for His pleasure and for His glory. When the Holy Spirit and as the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, we will grow and experience what it means forever, O God, Thy word is settled in heaven. And we'll also know what it means when it says, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart. I believe that our worldliness and instability and the direct hit that many of us have taken from the flesh and the devil are the direct result of not having asked for and received the fullness of the Spirit. Of one thing you may be sure, and that is when you and I ask for the experience of the indwelling of the Spirit, number one, all known sin will go. Number two, we will seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Number three, sin will no longer have dominion over us. We will no longer be under the law. We will know what it means when it says there is now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Listen to me. If your life is dominated, did you hear what I said? If your life is dominated by a bad temper, if you nurture a spirit of criticism, if you love to keep up with the Joneses, you know what that means, don't you? If you enjoy watching people break the law of God on television programs, and I could go on and on, my friend, you are not under grace. You're under the law still. Because the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. Now you may be thinking, are you saying, Dick, that when the Holy Spirit is in us, we will be perfect? I didn't say that. But this I know, that as the Holy Spirit dwells in us, we will begin to hate the things we have loved, and we will begin to love the things we have hated. As the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart, if you will ask Him and cooperate with Him, He will give you an ongoing victory over the sins that have so long ruined the quality of your life. The promise is, sin shall not have dominion over you. Now hang on, though. There's a little bit of something here that we've got to recognize. The more the Holy Spirit works in our lives, the more unworthy and sinful we will appear to be in our own eyes. Now that's bad news. You mean you say the more I have the Holy Spirit in my life, the more unworthy and sinful I'll appear? But no, that may be bad news, but there's good news. The good news is your wife and children and the people with whom you work, your friends will be able to tell the difference. They'll know. You might be thinking, why does the spiritual life have to be so complicated? Doesn't seem like in the New Testament that it was so complicated. They just say, believe in Jesus, and the whole household is saved, and they'd say, have you received the Holy Ghost? And they'd say, no, and there he was. Oh, it might not have been complicated then, but it is now. Why? Because the truth has become complicated? No, it's because of the lies, the misrepresentations that have been told about the gospel, and particularly about the Holy Spirit. In fact, I think even the truth about the Holy Spirit began to get complicated very soon, even in the apostolic age, because pretty soon a fellow named Simon Magus was wanting to buy it. Remember, the Holy Spirit works at two levels. First of all, there's the work He does for everybody, the good guys and the bad guys, in convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. That's for everybody. But then there is something much more special for
for those who ask and those who obey and those who will submit. And that is what we would call then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's much more than a work of conviction. It's a condition by which we are actually purged of sin. In other words, sin is not just diagnosed. But we're purged of sin and we are changed fundamentally and permanently. Did you hear the word I said? Permanently. Isn't that wonderful? To know that to have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in us will affect a permanent change. This is the sealing work of the Holy Spirit. The what is called the settling into the truth so that we can't be moved. Now, when I started this series, I warned you that once we know what the Holy Spirit really is and really what it's for, we may actually decide it's not for us. Amen. But be careful. His Spirit will not always strive. He's not always going to try to sell himself the way he is now. In fact, one of our preachers at camp meeting in Florida said this year, he's afraid, he believes, that even now, the Holy Spirit is being redistributed. Do you know what that means? Withdrawn from those who have perpetually resisted him, and being given in special measure to those who are asking for him. Someone came to me after the meeting yesterday and said, you know, I used to live in Florida. And when I was talking to him about the latter rain, and I said, you know, those who receive the latter rain will already have the Spirit. And he reminded me of something that is so true, and it's just an amazing thing. That down there in Florida, at least where I live and in much of Florida, it's sand. Are you aware of that? And so anyway, when the sand becomes very, 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 very dry, totally dry, I just don't know what makes it that way, the sand will become so dry that you can set a hose on it running full blast and leave it there for 3 hours. You know what I'm talking about, Fernando. And you come back and it's not gone down an inch. The sand repels completely and always then that heavy influx of water. And this is why we just cannot afford, as I take care of my flowers and plants, I can't afford to let my beds go dry. Because when they go dry in the next rain, even though it's falling on them, they can be missing it. We're in the 90s now. The old expression, we're playing hardball now. The message to the Laodicean church was all right for the 60s and the 70s and the 80s. You know, we kind of boasted about that. We said, hey, you know, that's us. Us Laodiceans, you know. It's not funny anymore. We can't go back to Pentecost. Full of the Spirit of the indwelling Christ, we must go on to the latter rain. For too long, what has been marketed as being full of the Holy Spirit is not being full of the Holy Spirit at all. It's high time that we as Seventh-day Adventists wake up and begin to pray with all of our hearts to be filled with the Holy Spirit in the true sense of the word. Some of us have seen very well what the devil can do in our lives. Why don't we get serious now and see what the life-changing, sealing power of the Holy Spirit can do in our lives? People have asked me, do you have the Holy Spirit? Have they ever asked you that? I used to hem and haw. Now I'm praying that God will give me the full indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And praise God, He's answering my prayer. We have tended to equate praying for the Holy Spirit with a view to church growth. Don't misunderstand me. We will say, let us pray for the Holy Spirit so that we can win souls. I say we've tended to equate the praying for the Holy Spirit with a view to church growth instead of personal growth. Personal spiritual growth. But it seems to me that the Holy Spirit, though the indwelling of the Spirit is what brought growth to the church, it seems to me that the foundation of Christian witnessing is not just being able to explain what we believe. It must be much more. It seems to me that the foundation of Christian witnessing is based on being able to tell others what Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. It seems to me that the foundation of Christian witnessing is that our families and friends will see what Jesus is doing in our lives. Maybe we've been praying for the Holy Spirit before and nothing happened. Maybe we didn't understand what was supposed to happen. We didn't really know what we were praying for. Or maybe we were like the man with the dog named Stay. Come, stay. Come, stay. Praying for the Holy Spirit while the life says stay. Have you been doing that? Oh, my brother, my sister, it is my prayer that as we go from this camp meeting, that if need be, we'll change the name to that dog to come. So that we'll say to the Spirit, come, oh come, Holy Spirit. And He's promised that He will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, to those who obey, to those who permit the Holy Spirit to do His marvelous work in their lives. Do you want the Spirit to do that work in your life today? Oh, I surely do. Time to pray again. Why don't we kind of change our prayer just a little bit this morning? We've been praying that God will give us the Holy Spirit. Why don't we just go ahead now and exercise the faith, Jerry, and just thank Him that He's heard our prayers. And you say, really, me? Little old me? You mean the Holy Spirit? I, little old me, have... Yes, yes. It does not yet appear what you will be. But we know this, and I know this, that when Jesus appears, you will be like Him. You will see Him as He is. Heavenly Father, we want to ask for forgiveness. Or maybe in asking for the Holy Spirit, we've done it because we want to fulfill our own spiritual lusts or spiritual fantasies. To use you. Oh God, forgive us. Use us, Lord. We pray that the Spirit of the living God might feel comfortable in our lives. He might feel at home there. And that, Lord, as temples of the Holy Ghost, whose temples we are, we pray that we might have righteous works, the works that come from righteousness, that the words of our mouths, even the meditations of our hearts, through the indwelling Christ, might be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, our strength, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen.
This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.